Welcome to a refreshing podcast from Life Church. Get ready. The Word of God will be planted into your heart and will produce God's best in your life.
I used to be very nervous and scared about almost everything. About my future, about what would happen in the next minutes, about all kinds of scenarios. It seemed like I had this cool, calm, and collected appearance on the surface, but there was always a storm brewing inside. Definitely, since coming to Christ, I'm much more settled. You know, I really don't feel fearful about much or anything. And I have this amazing sense of peace. You know, like that scripture, he keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts him, is very real to me. And I honestly don't know how I lived without it. Now, since coming to Life Church, I've found a new group of friends, of brothers and sisters in Christ that really feel like family. You know, they're people I can really be myself with and express my true identity in Christ with. And they're people that I love very much, and I can feel the same from them. So that's definitely very settling and comforting. My name is Roderick Skeets, and I'm a member of Life Church.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a shout of praise. Hey, Jesus, we worship you, Lord. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Welcome to Life Church. We're excited about the word of the Lord today. I'm really pumped. The Lord has just refreshed me with an awesome word for you. God has something good in store for you. Amen. Praise God. But before I get into that, I have a very important announcement. I'll share that at the end. So I want you to really stay put for that. Very, very important announcement happening in our church. Some great things. So we're really excited about what God is doing. Amen. Amen. Anybody doing anything special for the weekend? I know Valentine's weekend is here today. Okay. Pray for your husband. All right. Awesome. Praise God. You know, people have different views of Valentine's Day. Some people, of course, within the Christian faith, have a problem with it because truthfully, some of the roots of Valentine's is rooted in paganistic practices. We understand that. But I personally just want to tell you you're free in Christ for this reason, particularly for this occasion. It's because God is the author of love. Amen. And so anytime that you have an opportunity to express that and demonstrate that and society encourages that, I would encourage you to do the same thing. Amen. So if you have a significant other in your life, we welcome you to do that. Do something special. It doesn't have to be someone that you're romantically involved with. It could just be your family members. Demonstrate the love of God. Can you do that any day and every day? Should you do that any day and every day? Does that include February 14? Amen. Praise God. So we also, we're just excited about that. And we're excited about the love of God. How many can feel God's love for you? Can you feel the love of God for yourself? I want you to know that God loves you tremendously. He loves you. And, you know, I didn't necessarily prepare a Valentine's Day message. I don't typically do that. I don't think I've ever done it, actually. But the Lord did place it in my heart to focus on his love today for you. And so I'm really, really excited. And as I was doing some research on this, you know, I came to realize that in the New Testament, there is one word that is used probably more often than any other word, or at least the top two, to describe you. to describe those who place their faith in Jesus. And that word is beloved. Beloved. You'll see that word often. Beloved, beloved, beloved. And I don't think it's by accident. I think God wants you to know that you are beloved. He wants you to believe that you are beloved. He wants you to know that. He wants it to be something that is in your consciousness, that I am truly loved by God. Truly, truly loved by God. And I just, as we were worshiping, I just became more and more intentional about focusing on his love for me. I began to think about what God has done in my life. And so I want you to think about that. Think about your life. Can you think about a moment in time when you sensed that God truly does care for you? He does love you. Amen. Can anybody think about that? Anybody can testify to the fact that God truly loves them. God cares for them. He's been there for them. You know, God is a loving God. He's kind. He's patient. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's giving. And if you have not discovered that love, I want to encourage you to open up your heart for that, because God wants to really reveal himself in a very special way to you today. He loves you. You know, I woke up this morning and I felt the Spirit of the Lord gave me a just kind of like a different angle to what I was prepared to minister on. I was prepared to minister on love, but he wanted me to show something first. And so I believe that this is going to relate to many of us here. And it's found in Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 19. Romans 12, 19, praise the Lord. It reads, beloved. Somebody say beloved. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And this particular scripture wasn't what the Lord really impressed upon my heart, but it connected to what he put in my heart. And that is that you don't have to feel that you have to fend for yourself, because truly God loves you. And here's the point that the Lord wanted me to emphasize. If you truly believe that you don't have to fend for yourself, you can easily forgive people. Some of you, you're here today, and what makes it difficult to forgive people who have hurt you is because you feel, if I hold unforgiveness, it's a way of defending myself. It's a way of protecting myself. It's a way of guarding myself. I'm going to hold this against you. And if I can hold something against you, then I feel protected. I feel vindicated. I feel guarded. I feel like you can't hurt me anymore because I'm holding something against you. And the scripture is telling us, no. Give place to wrath. But I love the fact that it first starts off by saying, What's the first word you see there? Beloved. What makes it easy to forgive when you know that you're loved? What makes it easy to let go of offenses? What makes it easy to allow yourself at times to be cheated knowing that you are loved? God loves you. I know that's an ABC 1-2-3 fundamental message you probably heard in Sunday school, but I want to remind you that you are beloved. And when you know that you are beloved, releasing forgiveness is easy. I know by the Spirit that some people here are having a hard time forgiving, having a hard time releasing, having a hard time forgetting about the pain of the past, having a hard time allowing yourself to be vulnerable again. What is the remedy for that? Knowing that you are beloved. Somebody say, I'm beloved. See, when you know that you are beloved, you relax and you allow yourself not to be in a position where you feel like you have to avenge yourself. In fact, you can rest in God's love, knowing that he is the one that will execute vengeance on your behalf. So if things have been coming against you. People have been coming against you. If you feel like you have to fend for yourself, fight for yourself, defend yourself. No. Let this scripture rest in your heart. You are beloved. And because you are beloved, God will defend you. He will. The Lord will defend you. And so, if you've been cheated, tell yourself, the Lord will defend me. If something has been stolen from you, tell yourself, the Lord will restore. If something has been taken from you, if something has been held back from you, say, the Lord will give it to me 100-fold in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he loves me. I'm beloved. Amen. If you were overlooked for a position that you deserve, don't worry about it. You're beloved. The Lord will give you better. You are beloved today, and I want you to let this rest in your heart. And if you are, you know, apt to study the Bible, I want to encourage you. Look up the word beloved. Look it up just in the New Testament. You'll be astounded as to how many times the scriptures tell you that you are loved by God. Loved by God. Loved by God. You're loved. You're loved. You're loved. Because when you're resting in his love and you know that you're loved, it frees you to enjoy the benefits of his love. This is why it says, give place to wrath. What does that look like? You see, when you give place to something, you literally move out the way so that God can do something. But here's the problem. We don't see the goodness of God the way we can. We don't see his love the way we can. We don't see him defending us the way we can. You know why? We are blocking him. We're not giving place. We're occupying that space. We're saying, no, I got to do it my way. No, I got to keep it. No, but God is saying, listen, give me room. Give me space. Give place so that I can operate and demonstrate my love for you in a way that you can't do it yourself. Come on. Somebody say, I'm beloved today. Yes, you are. You're loved by God. I feel in my spirit, individuals, I want to let you know that God is ready to do some awesome things in your life, but you got to let go. You got to let go. You got to let go. And the way you let go is you begin to celebrate the fact that I am loved by God. I'm choosing not to hold unforgiveness. I'm choosing not to be bitter. I'm choosing not to be angry. In fact, I'm going to release prayer. I'm going to release blessing. In fact, I'm going to wish it well upon that individual. I'm going to pray God's best over that individual because I am beloved. And when I release the love of God, nothing is taken away from me. It's not like I'm being cheated. It's not like I'm being held back. No, I'm beloved. I can't be held back. So I can forgive. I can release. I can bless. I can smile. I can be generous. I can release everything that God wants me to release to the individual, and it doesn't take anything away from me because I am beloved. I'm settled in what God has given me. I'm settled in what he has given him, what he's placed in my life. I'm settled with where he's taken me so I can release the love of God. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I break every spirit of unforgiveness. That spirit that has tried to keep you from releasing the love of God. That spirit that has kept you from releasing forgiveness. I break that over your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will forgive. When you are beloved, you're offended, but you didn't even know it. It's like it rolls off your back. You didn't even realize it. Oh, that happened. I didn't even realize it. Well, I'm more conscious of God's love for me than man's hatred towards me. I'm more conscious of God's grace towards me than I am towards man's resistance of me. I'm more conscious of God's acceptance of me than I am of man's rejection of me. I'm more conscious of it. And so when things happen that don't please me, it's like I don't even realize it because I know that I'm beloved by God. You're loved by God today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This is why Christians are not allowed. Someone say, not allowed. They're not allowed to mourn like the world mourns. They're not allowed to lose their mind for the things that the world loses their mind over. You're not allowed to be depressed. You're not allowed to carry yourself like you don't have a God in this world. You're not allowed to walk with your head down. You're not allowed to look like you're defeated. You're not allowed to look like Jesus didn't die for you. You're not allowed to have that kind of attitude. You walk in that revelation that, wait a minute. God loves me. That settles it. What else do I need if I'm settled and anchored in his love? In the name of Jesus. Here's a scripture that will bless you. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Matthew, I reached out to him yesterday, actually, because I remember him sharing a testimony. I wanted to get the details of it. I didn't get a chance to. But he experienced this particular verse that I think is so awesome. And I've experienced it as well. Yeah, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. Look at this. It says, "The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save." Oh, I love that. "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love." Oh, yes. Some of you, you're not quiet. What does that mean? Meaning you're not settled. You're not at peace. You're not enjoying the free flow of grace that is available. Today is a different day for you. The Bible is declaring that the Lord will quiet you with his love. He's going to settle you down with his love. Thank you, Jesus. He will rejoice over you with singing. This is how, think about it, when you want to demonstrate, this is Valentine's Day, right? So, men, you want to be romantic, what do you typically do? You sing, right? If you can sing, right? You sing to your wife, you sing to your girlfriend, right? You let them know how, you can say, "I love you," or you can put it in a melody. Doesn't that add a different touch to it? Let me tell you, How you can experience God singing over you. Many times you could be going through a difficult time. You could be going through a challenge. And you know what will happen? You'll begin to hear a song in your spirit. Where did that song come from? It's a song from heaven. It's God singing. The Bible says that he surrounds you with songs of deliverance. When you are feeling a certain way and a song comes up in your heart, you know what's happening? God is singing over you. And that song is reverberating in your spirit. And you begin to sense the melody of heaven. You begin to sense the heart of God. He begins to sing a song of deliverance, a song of love, a song of protection, a song of healing. And what happens? All of a sudden you feel quieted by his love. You feel settled. You feel at peace. You feel secure because a song came up in your heart. That was God singing over you. Oh, he's a romantic God. He loves to sing over his children. He loves to bathe you with melodies from heaven. Isn't it amazing, even in historical times, even today, but you see that a lot in historical wars, that you had the pipers, you had the people with musical instruments. I never understood that. You'd see, you know, they're going to war and they're blowing a trumpet and flute, and I'm like, well, this is silly. What's going on? There's something about music even in war. You'll see music and war constantly go hand in hand. And many times if you feel like you're at a spiritual battle, it's the songs of deliverance that causes you to see that victory that God has given you. This is why the Bible told, you'll see this in Chronicles, where God told Jehoshaphat, put the singers before the army and let them sing, and let them sing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. It was music that went before the people of God that caused them to experience the victory over their enemies. God is singing over you today. And when he sings over you, it's for the purpose of settling you, quieting you, quieting you with his love. Oh, thank you, Father, for loving us. Come on, lift up your hand and say, Father, say it loud, Father, I believe you love me. I believe that I'm beloved of God. In Jesus' name. Yes. If you've doubted his love, I'm canceling that doubt over your life. No more doubting in Jesus' name. No more doubting his love. Yes. And you gotta guard that, because here's how we doubt his love. We have our hope set on something. I've had my hope disappointed before. Have you? Can you think of something you've hoped for? You said, Lord, I'm hoping for this. I'm hoping for that. And it didn't come to pass. Right? We can all admit that we've come to a place in our life at some point in time where our hope was in something. And we trusted, we prayed even, Lord, make this happen. Right? Lord, let this happen. Let this be the one. Let this be the job that accepts me. Let this be. Right? And then it doesn't happen. And then immediately, Satan, that's his opportunity. Satan's opportunity is disappointment. The moment you feel disappointed, oh, well, this is where I shine my best. He steps in and then he whispers these words, God doesn't love you. If God loved you, this wouldn't have happened. If God really loved you, you would have got that position. If God really loved you, this would have happened. Let me tell you something. You got to guard against that. In the times of disappointment, you have to learn to trust the Lord and his love for you beyond this present moment of disappointment, because that moment will pass. Man, you know, we don't have time to show you this, but David was rejected. You'll see this in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. He wanted to be part of a camp. He wanted to be in the territory of the Philistines. And the Philistines rejected him. They didn't trust him. They said, no, we know that you're an Israelite, and we don't know that if while we're going to war, you're going to turn your back on us and become a problem, you need to leave. And David was confused, and he didn't understand why. He says, listen, because David was on the run. He was on the run from Saul. So David was kind of in that in-between place, and he needed refuge. And he was with them for some time, but they rejected him. And they said, you must leave by tomorrow morning. I can imagine David was disappointed by that. But you know what's interesting? If you read one chapter later, the Bible shows that David goes back to his land, the land of Ziklag, and then he finds that whole city burnt down. He finds his children, his wives, all the men, their children, their wives, their property burnt. And the Lord opened my eyes. He says, look at this. Because later on that chapter, he recovers all. He says, what would have happened if David stood in the land of the Philistines? Could it have been that he would have missed his opportunity to recapture that which was stolen from him? So sometimes you might think that this moment of disappointment is a defining moment. Let me tell you something. It's not a defining moment. God loves you beyond the moment of disappointment. And if you would just reject the satanic suggestions that says that God doesn't love you, if you would just reject that distressing spirit that wants to make you feel unloved and say, wait a minute, Lord, I don't understand why this didn't happen. I don't understand why this didn't pan out, but I'm choosing to trust you beyond this moment. You will begin to see God's love in an immeasurable way. Somebody say, I'm beloved by God. Oh man, now let me ask you another question. Now I saw a lot of hands say, yeah, I've experienced disappointment. Can anybody ever point to a time in your life you've experienced disappointment, but then later on you realize, oh, I'm so glad that didn't work out that way. Anybody ever saw an ex and say, man, I'm so glad that this is my ex? Anybody ever look at a job? Yeah. So you can't define your life by a moment of disappointment. You can't. You ever been fired before and then the next week you got a better job? It's happened before. Happened to me before. Yeah. I'm telling you, God loves you. Don't doubt it for a second. As a matter of fact, that leads me to the next scripture I want to leave you with, and that's found in John chapter 16, verse 23. John 16, 23. And Jesus is comforting his disciples. He's giving them some instructions, and he's letting them know that soon he's going to be departing. Okay? And so he gives them some instructions. Oh, thank God for his love. Look at verse 23. And in that day, somebody say that day. In that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. What does that mean? Jesus was showing them something. Guys, I've been with you. You never had to pray for anything. You never had to ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You never had to do that. Why? I'm here. Jesus, we need food. Okay. I'll take the fish, the loaves, create more food. Jesus, we need to pay taxes. No big deal. Here's the money. Jesus was saying, listen, up until this time, you didn't have to pray. You didn't have to pray in my name. I'm here. You needed it. I got it. But there's coming a day where you're not going to physically see me. I'm not going to be there for you to physically touch me. And in that day, you will ask in my name, and it will be given to you. Thank you, Father. Why? Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive. Someone say, I will receive. Yes, you will. You will receive. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Somebody, I want to just shatter a religious spirit that says that God is not interested in your joy. He is. He says, ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Look at verse 26. It says, in that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is saying, look, when you pray, I'm not going to pray for you. From the perspective of you need something, okay, let me pray to the Father. The Bible does say that Jesus makes intercessions for us, but that's a different type of prayer. Jesus is talking about the things you need, the things that are concerning you. Jesus is not praying for you on that level. He's not. Sounds bad, but it's not. It's actually good. Why? Verse 27. For the Father himself loves you. Oh, I love that. The Father himself loves you. You see, a lot of times we look at God in the Old Testament as the big mean God and Jesus as the nice God. Right? People look at God, the Father, as the fierce angry God who is striking everything from left to right. And then Jesus shows up on the scene and he's nice and he's kind and he's compassionate. That's not true. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. It was a demonstration of the Father's love that Jesus died for our sins. It's not that the Father was a mean God and Jesus came on the scene and said, you know what, God, you're mean. Let me put a nice pretty face on you so that the world can accept you. No. God is love. And it was his love that orchestrated the plan of redemption. You understand what I'm saying? And so Jesus is now correcting a mindset because even they may have thought that. Jesus, we're so used to you coming to us and coming to our aid and we can pray. And Jesus says, listen, in that day I'm not going to pray for you. Why? The Father himself loves you. So you can go to the Father. You can say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you will receive so that your joy may be full. Somebody say, I'm beloved. I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I want those words to resonate in your heart. God loves you and he's committed to you. Don't ever doubt his love. In the moment of disappointment, don't doubt his love. In the moment where you feel like your hope was dashed, don't doubt his love. Mm-mm. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. I know that. But it also says that when the desire comes, it is like a tree of life. I'm telling you, the tree of life is coming to you in Jesus' name. And what you need to do, you need to recognize the tree of life moments. When you're rejoicing over something, you need to begin to say, Lord, this is your love for me. Don't overlook that. This is your love for me. This is your kindness towards me. This is your tenderness towards me. Lord, this is the time I've prayed for this. Lord, I just want to stop. And before I ask you for something else, I want to give you praise and thanksgiving for what you've done already for me. You love me. God loves you. I'm telling you, I don't know. I know it sounds like an elementary message to hear, but it's so profound. This is why, again, like I said, you'll see the word beloved mentioned so many times. If you know the love of God, it brings you to a place of freedom like never before. He loves you. Somebody say, he loves me. Oh, let me just give you one more scripture that I think is going to bless you. John chapter 5. Because God loves you, he will reveal his will for your life. Because God loves you, he will reveal his will for your life. John 5, look at verse 20. It reads, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does." Why does God show what he does? Because he loves you. He loves you. I told you this last week or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember, but God does speak to you. And my prayer is that you will recognize his voice. And here's the one reason why I know he speaks to you. It's because, like I said before, he spoke to you when you were an unbeliever. And he drew you by his loving kindness. So if he spoke to you when you were an unbeliever, surely he will speak to you as a child of God. Don't ever forget that. The Bible says that with loving kindness I've drawn you. God's love is so real, and it's drawing you closer and closer. Let me tell you something. If you know the love of God, and this, let this be a prayer. Lord, give me revelation of your love. Let that be your prayer. Because if you know his love, you will position yourself to see what God has revealed to your spirit. He's revealing it to your spirit. The things that he has prepared for you. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
This concludes today's message. If you need prayer, want to give a donation, or would like more information about Life Church, visit us at www.nylifechurch.com.